You all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to thank Elder Cole and the session and all of you for this kind privilege to be able to come to Sydney BBC to share with you from God's Word and to rejoice with you on your 21st anniversary Thanksgiving service. 21 years is always a very special turning point in every person's life. 21 years is supposed to be the year of adulthood. A year where you will no longer be seen as a child. You are allowed to cast your vote. Is that also true in Australia? In Singapore, you can join the army and fire a rifle at the age of 18, but you can't vote until you're 21. I do not know the reason why. But that is back home in Singapore. But 21 years is always seen all over the world as a very special turning point in a person's life. And I pray and hope that this will also be a special turning point in the history of SBPC. 21 years, that's a long time. To exist as a church for 21 years, where it is a home for many of God's people, a home away from home, that's how you must look at the church. A church is a place where Christ is head. When you are in the world, the devil is the head. And so it is very important that we have a church that is sound, that is good, where the ministries in this church obeys the word of God, because that's what it means when the Lord Jesus Christ is head. Everything in the church must be done according to God's teaching. The Bible is indeed the word of Christ. And so if Christ is head, everything in the church must be done according to the word of Christ. He is the head. But when you are in the world, the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. So when you go out into the world, school, business, government, remember who is in control. Of course, he does not have total, absolute control. The power that he had is given to him by God. But he is still a very powerful adversary, the devil. And so to exist for 21 years, I'm sure it is not without challenge. I'm sure as you reflect upon the past 21 years, those who have been here from the very beginning, some are not here anymore. And those who have joined us midway through or sometime in the past, for whatever reason, they have also disappeared. We hope that they have not disappeared into the world where Satan is God. That to me would be a greatest tragedy. To have experienced and tasted what's it like to be in heaven, because the church that is sound and good is indeed to have a taste of what heaven is like. Because you are among God's family. You are in an environment where the word of God is taught, is obeyed. And every ministry will try its best to be conducted in a manner that is taught in Holy Scriptures. And that means you have been given a taste as far as the external, the experience is concerned, a taste of what heaven is like. Because in heaven, everything in heaven obeys the word of God. You know that, right? Anything that is not obedient to the word of God in heaven is cast out. That's why Satan was cast out. That's why the demons who followed him were cast out. And so if you turn your back on a church that is sound and good, and if you are attending another church that is sound and good, we pray and hope that you will continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But to turn your back on Christ, to turn your back on the teaching of Christ in a sound church, and then you begin to hear and embrace the voices of the world, that to me, it's tragedy. Because you are so close to heaven, and yet you have not entered heaven. Now, I'm not talking about those who are truly born again and they begin to love the world and what the Bible calls backsliding. Because if they are in that condition, they will be like Lot. There is no peace in their soul. Just as the Bible said, Lot was vexed in his spirit every day. And this vexation of spirit will destroy their joy and happiness in the world, because they know they're living in sin, in disobedience. They will come back. If they go out into the world and you happen to meet them and you talk to them and ask them how things are and they smile and they laugh and they say, all is well with my soul, then you know that's not backsliding. That is a description of someone who does not know Christ, because he loves the world, he enjoys the world. He does not find it a vexation of spirit when he is living in sin and disobedience, and he does not hear the voice of Christ, that is the Bible. But when you're in the world, you hear the voice of the devil all the time. And then you are so comfortable. So what causes a person to have these kind of feelings, impact, and effect? That they seem to grow very well for a season of time, and then suddenly either they backslide or they give up. Our relationship with the Lord has to be constant and consistent. It has to increase in depth in our relationship with Him. It should not be a plateau. It should not go backward. It must always go uphill and upward. But we know that the world is a place that is dangerous. How do we sustain this kind of desire and strength of conviction? That no matter what happened, no matter how old and how long I've been a believer, my love for the Lord, my service for the Lord must keep on increasing in intensity. And that's what today's topic is all about, the great commandment obeyed. Matthew 22 described the very tail end of Christ's ministry, because in chapter 23, the Lord will appeal to his enemies one last time. Because in that chapter, the Lord used very harsh words to describe them. He called them hypocrites so many times. He called them serpents. He called them vipers. He called them liars. This was his last and final attempt to wake them out, because these were the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people who were the teachers of the Old Testament. They would know the Old Testament extremely well as far as the writings of the Old Testament were concerned, but not so much having a personal relationship with God. But as far as the externals, you find them literally faultless. And then in chapter 24, the Lord will tell us the signs of the last days. And then he warns us on how to react and respond to the signs of the last days in Matthew 25, giving us two amazing parables familiar to us, the parables of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents. And then he warns us of the separation of the sheep and the goat that will take place. And then soon after that, the Lord will be betrayed. A kangaroo court will be convened, and he will be found guilty, even though Pilate declared him innocent, and he will be persecuted, crucified, and he will pay the ultimate price. He will die for us. And so Matthew 22 was the last and final attempt of his enemies to try to find fault with him, to get him into trouble, to get him into serious trouble, so that they would have a legitimate reason to demand the death penalty. That's their agenda. They wanted this man to be stopped. And the only way to stop him, according to them, would be to kill him. Because Christ was a young man, 33 years old. They could not allow him to continue for the next 20 years. They wanted him stopped by death. And so they tried their best to trap him. And one by one, these leaders tried. In the first part of chapter 22 of Matthew, you realize that the Pharisees sent their students to try. Verse 15. Look at verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. Who are their disciples? The Pharisees. And they failed to trap the Lord Jesus Christ, because they wanted to trap him concerning giving tax. The Lord answered them. And then verse 23, you have the Sadducees, the next group of powerful leaders within the Sanhedrin council. They also try. Is there the resurrection? They also failed. And then verse 34, our text. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence — the word put to silence means to muzzle their mouth. They have nothing more to say. They have nothing more to do to trap him. They run out of tricks. Then they gather together. Now we will try. So first they send the disciples with the Herodians. They failed. The Sadducees failed. And now the great Pharisees. One of them, which was a lawyer, very well versed in the Old Testament, And he definitely knew that there were 613 laws in the Old Testament, 365 of them negative, the remaining positive, 248 of them. And they have been always debating, challenging, and arguing among themselves, and nobody could have an affirmative 100% conclusion out of these 613, which one is the great commandment. That means the best of all. That's why they use the word mega, okay, in tricking him. Then one of them asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Out of all these, all of them important, we do not doubt it, all came from God. Which one is the commandment that is above all of them? That's why they ask for one word, mega. Not the greatest, as if you have many categories or divisions, because we are talking about God's word. Right? We know that certain commandments carry with it lighter consequence. Some commandments, when you break them, require greater punishment. And so they all have this idea that all of them are God's word. All of them are very, very important. But which one is the great, top of the list, the mega one, compared to all the other 612? And so they have been arguing and arguing, and this has been done according to many commentators, including the Jewish writings. No one could definitively say which one. And each of them, when they say, I think this is the one, they will have their reason, their argument. And so maybe out of the 10 commandments, they say, maybe it's commandment number 10. Thou shalt not covet. It is the commandment that everyone break first before they break the other commandments. Because in order for me to steal, I must first covet. Before I begin to commit adultery, I must first lust. And so the covet part, which is invisible to man, but of course known to God and known to that person, that's why Jesus says, thou shalt not lust of the woman in your own heart. For to do so, you have already committed adultery. We all know that the consequence of lusting a woman after her own heart, and to actually commit adultery, the consequences are completely different. In the case of actual adultery, it is a very serious transgression. But if it's just lusting after a woman, Jesus, you already committed adultery, and you stop it there, the consequence is minimal. Not that there is none, it's minimal. And you stop it there, Jesus says, you have not committed adultery on the other end of the spectrum, where it will require greater consequence. So how do you measure which commandment? Is it measured according to the consequence or not? Because there are many commandments that require the death penalty. Murder, death penalty. Someone who curse father or mother, death penalty. Someone who break the Sabbath, they death penalty. Should be measured according to death penalty? So that's why this was a trap. They wanted to put Jesus in his place because they never expected him to give the answer. And he will give the reason. The reason, of course, is found in verse 40. You cannot just simply say it without the explanation. And the explanation is the reason why he said this is the great commandment. And that is the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart when Elder Cole wrote to me and asked me for the sermon for this Sunday and the following Sunday. Pray to the Lord as BBC 21st anniversary, which message will be best to encourage God's people as they reflect upon the year of adulthood, 21 years. 21 years to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This was what the Lord laid upon my heart. Because it is one thing to serve the Lord with zeal and with fervency. And this is very easily seen in the lives of young people, full of energy, full of zeal, and full of fervency. And that would be a tremendous, tremendous privilege given to them to be brought up in a Christian environment where your parents are believers and you are introduced to Christ at such a young age. And in that moment of your life, when you are young, you have a lot of energy and you spend it serving the Lord, doing the things of the Lord. That is, to me, a privilege. I came to know Christ in my early 20s. I did not know Christ in my teens. I did not know Christ when I was a youth. I was a young adult. And so I was not given the privilege to spend my youthful zeal and energy as a teen, as a youth, doing the things of the Lord in church. My parents were not believers. But thank God for some of you young people whom you already know Christ. You have been brought up in a Christian home, but you have tasted what's it like even before you learn how to talk. And that is a privilege. Then the question is how to sustain this. How to keep this in your life after you come to know Christ. Because when you grow older and older, you'll begin to taste the pleasures of the world that you have been shielded from when you were a student. And once you enter into university, you become very independent. In Singapore, we have young men who suddenly from a student life, they are thrust into a world that is completely the opposite of what they have been experienced with national service. A world where filthy language is the norm. People drink. Thank God, no drug culture, or if there is, it is very, very, very minimal. But that kind of behavior and conduct, our young men are thrust into just like that, literally from night, from day to night. Imagine you've been brought up in your home, Christian home, you're brought up in church, and then you're brought up in your own school, and you are very carefully taught by your parents to choose your friends carefully. Social life, please let it be church friends. School life, school work, no choice, let it be your school friends. So you can do this, you can help your child and they listen to you. And so when they go out, they will go out with school friends, no, church friends. And then their church friends, all believers, you will give thanks before you eat. You will only do things and go to places that all of you are in agreement with, which the moment it is not a biblical, you will all not want to go because the peer pressure is very strong. But then suddenly when you are 18, you are in the world of the national service, where your familiarity of Christian protection suddenly disappears. You are now with people whom you go out with. They don't care about your prayer. They don't care about the places that you are averted to. They will even goad you and taunt you and force you, in inverted commas, by their words, to lure you into their world, to trick you into joining them, to drink, to smoke, to even gamble, and then to womanize, to indulge in pornography. All these things that you've been protected and shielded from, and suddenly you are exposed to them like a man who has been blind, and suddenly your eyes are open to a world that is so delicious and pleasurable to the five senses. How to keep these kind of life away from the heart and soul of someone who have tasted only Christian faith, Christian experiences, your love for the Lord. That is the key. First, we assume that you know Christ as Lord and the Savior, and I hope you do. Because if you do not know Christ as Lord and the Savior, you do not know this love. This love is not yours. This love does not find itself in man when we come into this world. Because the word love used here throughout this whole passage is agape love. The love that we have from birth is known as phileo love. And this phileo love has many different versions. It is the kind of love that you have among siblings, among friends, among husband and wife, and also amongst people to people. You don't have to be a believer to have phileo love, which is a conditional love. That's why the word Philadelphia means loving your brother. He's my brother, so I love him. The relationship, that's conditional. He's my friend, I love him. He's not my friend, he sabotaged me. I hate him, I don't love him. I despise him, I want to curse him. I want the worst thing to come upon him because he sabotaged me. That's why it is a conditional love. We all have it, unbelievers have it. It is the way of humanity, that kind of love, phileo. But the Lord says, the great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord your God, and so he has to be your Lord and your God first. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, it will be seen. It will be seen when you grow up and when you enter into the world as an adulthood. When you become an adult, you enter the world and now you're going to face the world, and your test of your faith will now be exposed. Either you pass or you fail. The passing and the failing is more than just an attendance in the church. It's more than just something that is external and superficial. Because the Pharisees were expert in this. Do they have the love of God that was shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, this love? No, they don't have. But did they follow all the 613 laws religiously? Definitely. They will keep the Sabbath day better than you and I, and they will put us to shame the way they keep them. Do they serve the Lord? Do they go to the temple and offer all their offerings? Do they keep all the holy days perfectly as far as the externals are concerned? Perfect. Best of all. So as far as the external form, they were without better than anyone. No one better than them. They were the best. But the heart, the reason, the motive that constrain you, that's the key. If the motive that constrain you is not the love of God that you have, everything that you do, no matter how good and how pleasing they are to the people around you, God says, that's unacceptable. Because there is a hidden agenda. That's a reason that is sinful behind all these so-called goodness in appearance. Christian goodness in appearance. Outward appearance. Because the Lord wants the best for us. The Lord wants us not only to be good in appearance, but the Lord wants us to have the right heart. Good in heart. Which must always be accompanied by goodness in testimony. Goodness in testimony without goodness in heart will result in what we do if you are born again, even as wood, hay, and stubble, and they will be burned up by fire on the day of testing. But when your motive is right, constrained by the love of God, now what? When did this love come into a person? Romans 5:5. When you accepted Christ as Lord and the Savior who died for your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ sees your confession in sincerity and unconditional surrender of your entire life to the Lord. And the Lord will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that's when you are born again. And when that happens, the righteousness is given to you, imputed. At the same time, the love of God will shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You are given a new mind in Christ. Now you are able to understand Scripture because you become a spiritual person, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 3. Because the moment the Spirit of God dwells in you, when Jesus Christ baptized you with the Holy Spirit, the love of God is also found in your heart now. And so the Lord, when He says, this is the great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord your God. He is speaking to everyone who is born again, and those who are born again, when they hear these words from the Lord, they will not only agree with Him in mind, they will be able to experience in His heart, in their hearts, what Jesus said. Because you and I know what love is. It is a feeling. It always involves a feeling. It always involves a feeling. It doesn't stop with a feeling, but it always has a feeling. Of course, it is a feeling that is mixed always with commitment. It is more than just a feeling, but it cannot not have a feeling, an emotion. You know that, right? When a person is in love with another person, they cannot bear to be apart. When a person is in love with another person, the time they spend with each other flies by very fast. True? When you are no longer in love, you can't stand each other. You can't bear to be with each other. Every minute together is like an hour or more. But when you're in love, you don't want to be apart. You stay together. You like to hear each other's voices. You can't stop communicating with each other now with all the handphone and so on and all the gadget. It is so much more easier. Right? In the past, when you are apart from your loved one, you can only send a letter. And the letter will be carried by ship from one country to the next, and you will not hear from them for the next few months until, and hopefully, the ship will arrive in your country. And then by the time they arrive, they have to sort out all the letters that will be in that ship. And then the postman will probably ride on a horse to send it to your home. Your wife will read it with tears in her eyes because this is the first time they hear your that you're okay, that you're alive, what you are thinking about what you are doing because of your long letter that you have sent after weeks or months of separation because you have traveled overseas on mission work, for example, or business, whatever it is, to another country. And then they will read it again and again and again, and then they will pen their own thoughts, their own feelings, and then the whole process will now be reversed. That's how they communicate when they were in love. But then today, you have the telephone, you have the WhatsApp, you have all the facial communication and so on. But the feeling is the same. It should not change. When you are in love with someone, you love your children, you love your spouse, you can't bear to be away from them. True, that's a feeling. But you and I also know that when the feeling begins to wane, when the departure from your loved ones becomes more and more comfortable, the first time, there is this pain and this ache in you because of the separation. And once you get used to it, the pain suddenly becomes dull and seems to disappear. And then when you come home, in your heart, of course, you dare not say out loud, like in your heart, I wish I didn't come home. Disturb my routine, my way of life in his absence. This was just told to me a few days ago. Because people who work in the mines in Perth, I was told, they are given a very, very good remuneration. And so many of them do not mind because of the good money that they make. They will be separated from their family for about a week. For every 2 weeks, 1 week they are away from home. This becomes the pattern. And so the wife will be the only one who will look after the home and the children and so on. And they will make all the decisions. The husband is away. Maybe first time you fly away, it was painful, it was difficult for everyone involved, your children, your wife, and yourself. But then it becomes a routine after maybe 6 months, and you begin to get used to it because the big money is coming in. Now you don't worry about mortgage payment, you pay up all your mortgage, and you still have a tidy sum back home in your bank as reserve now. It begins to build. And then now you can even think of selling this smaller house, buy a bigger one, a bigger car, and so on. But during these next few years, your relationship with your wife begins to grow cold. And then if there is another person in the place that you're working in like this, 2 weeks at home, 2 weeks over there, and then your wife also now begins to forget you. And she also begins to feel lonely, and she's also thinking of another person. And your children do not know you as father because you do not get involved in their lives. You become a stranger to them, and so very soon they can live without you. And when they grow up, they literally live without you. You could be dead to them, not in reality, but as far as they are concerned, you have not been part of their lives, and so as far as they are concerned, you're already dead to them, in their mind, in their heart, in their lives. Where is the love of children for parents and your love for them? Gone. Your love for your wife also gone. Feeling. So how is your love for the Lord? Is the love of God still with you? Do you have this love of God? First and foremost, do you have it? Does not matter how long you've been a Christian, the answer is right now. Don't say, well, I've been a Christian for 20, 30. It's not how long, it's how your love is for the Lord. We have a good friend met in a seminary in America. Tall man, 6'6". Met him there somehow. He became our friend. Dr. Koo, myself, and him, we study together, we do work together, we help each other. And then one evening, we had a door. He knocked on our door, my wife and I. We had a small little one-room apartment next to the seminary, and he came in, and he was very downcast and very sad, he and his wife. And so we said, what happened? Come in. Then he told me that my mom and my dad would be married for 30, 40 years, suddenly announced to all the children that they are going to have a divorce. Then I said, why? What happened? Well, my dad just told us that he and his mom had been living together, putting up a front to all of us children, and made a promise that they will not divorce until our children are all grown up and have lives of their own. And now that we are all grown up, have lives of our own, have our own children and so on, they are keeping their word. They are in their 60s or 70s. Married for many years, it means nothing. They stay married as a facade to give people the impression, their own children, that mom and dad are still together. But are they together in heart, in soul, in mind? No. But they are together in body, just for the sake of the children. And so now the children are leaving home, and they have left home actually. They're all alone now because the children are married, they have one home. They are going to divorce, and they will divorce, and they divorce. So please don't say that, well, we have been believer for so many years, we've been coming to church, we've been serving this, serving that, doing this, doing that. The Lord says, beyond all your service, I want first to know your heart. And I want you to know your heart. Why are you doing all these things? Is it because you love me? Or is it because of some other thing, some other reason, some other agenda? Is it to soothe your own conscience? Is it to please mom and dad? What exactly is it? Is it to show your children, to testify to them, so that they can see that mom and dad are believers, so that they will also think that you are believers? The Lord says, I want to know your heart. I want you to know your heart. Do you love me? Do you truly love me? Because if you are not in love with me in doing all these things that are Christian, the Lord's heart is broken. The children's heart were broken when this news was announced. Their hearts were broken. I mean, we were friends only when we arrived in America for about a year or two. We knew him, and yet he opened his heart to us. He was brokenhearted that his parents would separate and divorce. God's heart is broken. And all you do is to show to the people around you a facade of wellness in your soul. And you know in your heart of hearts that your love for him has grown cold since the day you first accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And I pray and hope that your love for the Lord should exceed that of Ethan's love for the Lord, because his love for the Lord is fresh. That is the first love, because he just accepted Christ as Lord and Savior by his testimony. It's a new love. You and I had that once, but that fresh new love should be deeper and deeper than the first time when you walked down the aisle with your spouse, with your wife. If you are married 20 years, your love for her now should be 20 years deeper than the first time you walked down the aisles with her. If you've been a 20-year-old Christian, then your love for the Lord Jesus Christ should be 20 years deeper and stronger and more committed than 20 years ago. Isn't that what it ought to be? Because that's what love is. Love has no limit in terms of its depth. That's the depth of love, the feeling, the emotions of love has to be there first. That's why love always has two parts. The emotion part, that's why whenever the emphasis is on the emotion, the King James translators translated the word love. Whenever the emphasis is on the action of love, they will use the word charity, like 1 Corinthians 13. Charity is this, charity is that, because the emphasis is on the action of love. Ephesians 5, wives submit to your own husband, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church, where the emphasis is on the feeling, the emotion that you must have for your wife. And here the emotion is emphasized. Thou shalt love the emotion. Do you love the Lord? How is your feeling of love for him this morning as you reflect upon your time here in SBPC? You and I know that in Australia it's very hard to find a sound church. It's harder to find a sound church than finding diamonds. You know that, right? Because diamonds, you go to any jewelry shop, you find diamonds. To find a sound church today is near impossible. Literally, you know better than me. In Singapore, it's easier, but it is getting harder because many of our own BP churches are now wayward. Many of our BP churches, they use band, they use drum, they use CCM music. It's atrocious. Life Church, they started to believe the Bible as mistakes. Do you know now what they do when they teach their kindergarten children? Lion dance. I got shocked. I was teaching in class, and then I hear the loud music, dong dong chang, dong dong chang, dong dong chang. They were playing a CD, very loud CD. And then when I look out after my class, I walk out, I saw these children in a miniature version of the lion dance. You know, the little head and the mane. And they thought it was very cute. The training, the children, preparing the children for the day of celebration, and the parents will come and take pictures and think that it is very cute. What has blinded their eyes? Could they not see? You think lion dance is pure culture? It's not pure culture. You and I know that in Singapore, it carries with it all the superstition. Still, when a business is open and the person is not a Christian and they open their business, they invite the lion dance to come to chase away all the bad luck. Why would this kind of thing be found inside a BP church? And Life Church is the mother of all BP churches in Singapore. And it has declined so badly within this short period of time to the point that they can't see what's happening. That's why sound biblical churches are very hard to find. And when you go into the world, it will pull your heart away from this church. Unless your love for the Lord is strong enough that you will not allow it to be pulled away. But you cannot separate the love of Christ with the church if the church is sound. Because the church is home. The church is home. Please understand, the church is a home. A home away from home. One day when I was reading the Bible, I read Deuteronomy 6. The Lord required Israel one thing. Please, when you enter the promised land, please obey my word. That's it. That's all God. Obey my word. Then suddenly it struck me. Because in heaven, God's word, Christ's word is always obeyed. And what Christ required of Israel is, now this land is called the promised land. In this land, I want you to make it a land where the word of God is obeyed. Because outside of this land, the word of God is never obeyed. The word of God is ignored, is hated outside this promised land. Because outside, the devil is God. His word is obeyed. But in this land, I want my word to be obeyed. That's why God is the one who prescribed for Israel. Everything about Israel's conduct came from the Lord. How to dress, the Lord taught them. How to eat, the Lord taught them. How to spend your week, the Lord taught them. How to plant and use your animal in the planting. No ox and donkey, side by side, it has to be same character and same disposition. If you want to use an ox, it must be two oxen. You want to use whatever animal, a horse, must be horse and horse. Everything, your holy days, I decide. Everything about Israel, how to do the business, the civil law, everything prescribed by God, because when they do so, they will reflect the true image of Christ in holiness. Because in this place, I want it to be a mirror image of what heaven is like. Right? That's what it is, a mirror image of what heaven is like, because in heaven, Christ's word is always obeyed. So in this small little piece of land, I want God's word to be obeyed. Now, of course, when Israel rejected Christ, God replaced it with churches. So maybe it is easier for us, because we are not talking about millions of people, but we're talking about a smaller number. And that's why the church is sound and good. If you love the Lord, you love the church that is sound and good, where Christ's word is always obeyed. So if you love the Lord, you love the church, because the church is sound, where the word of God, where Christ is obeyed. Christ's word is obeyed, right? And so do you love the church? Do you love the Lord? Your heart for the Lord will be seen by your heart for the church. He's 21 years old. What have you done? What have you done to contribute to the spiritual well-being of the church? Seriously, what have you done? Or is this just a place where you feel like coming, you come? A place where you take advantage of for you to grow, but you for not for you to contribute? Because that kind of love in relationship is, to me, unacceptable. You cannot love your wife where it's only one-sided, where you take everything from her and you do not give anything back to her. Do you love like that in your home? You love your wife by just taking everything from her? Just make use of her. You want this, you ask her this. Just do everything for me and you do nothing in return. Do you do that at home? I hope not. I hope your relationship at home is not like that. No love relationship that is healthy and sound and good is a one-way traffic. It's always two-way. Always two-way. And that's why the Lord says, you love me with all your heart first. Your innermost being, with all your heart, your feeling, your emotion, everything, with all. Not 99%. It's not me and your job. It's not me and your wife. It's not me. It's all of me. 100%. Because if it is not all, the Lord says, you will fail. It's a matter of time. When that someone or something asks you, And the Lord asks you, you're going to disobey the Lord and you're going to listen to that voice. That's why the Lord said, it has to be all of me. You must love your with all your heart, me and me only. Nothing else. Nothing else. And with all your soul, mean your entire being. Everything inside your being, everything about you, it has to be for the Lord only. Do you, have you ever experienced this kind of love before that is so fresh, that is so pure? This is the kind of love that the Lord says, you are to love me. Unconditional, sacrificially, I give you this love. Do you have this love for me? Because every believer should have. God is not describing something that you and I have not been given. And if you find this something strange, please go back to square one. Check your salvation. If you find that this is something that you're indifferent to, you don't even bother about, it's something that is cold and alien to you, please check your salvation. Because every truly born-again believer has this love. That's what this love is. Those of us who are married, I'm sure you know and understand the in beginning, the feeling of your initial love. The first time I met my wife, the feeling, and then slowly the feeling developed deeper and deeper into love. Do you remember that day that you had with your wife, husbands, and wives for your husbands? Do you remember? You should never forget those times. Because if you ever forget, I think your present love for each other is in trouble. Why do you think the Lord gives us the Lord's Supper? Keep this sacrament as often as you can in remembrance of me. Remember what? Remember your love for him. Do you remember? That's what it's supposed to be, you know? So that you will never forget the love, because in the world will pull your heart in another direction. And only 100% love for God with all our heart, where our heart, our desires are all centered only on God and nothing else, no one else, can only will we be safe. Safe, S-A-F-E. Keep your holy witness safe, keep your walk with Christ safe, so that with the passage of time, instead of growing weaker and weaker in your love, in your service, in your devotion, in your witness, you grow stronger and stronger and stronger. That's why this love is so key and so powerful and so precious. The love must grow stronger and stronger. I hope for those of us who have been married for many years, 20 years, 30 years, how long have you been married? 20, 30 years? Thank God my wife and I, we just celebrated our 33rd, am I correct, 33rd anniversary? Yeah, 33rd. 33rd anniversary. I thank God I love her more now than ever before. We should. Can't bear to be without her. Can't bear to be separated from her. If she is out with some of our church ladies for some lunch thing, and she comes back, I missed her. Just only for that brief few hours. God wants us to feel that way much, much more with him. Never to be away from him. To be away from him will make your life empty, tasteless, and bankrupt. That there is something so big that is empty and missing within your soul when the Lord is not part of your life. That's what it means to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. And then with all your mind, you never stop thinking about him. You keep on thinking about your mind has nothing to occupy it other than the word. And you love to hear his voice. So this morning, did you hear the voice of the Lord? I'm not talking about the voice of the Lord that you heard during responsive reading. I'm talking about the private moment that you had when you woke up this morning. You may call it quiet time. Because quiet time simply means quiet time means shut the world away. It is now my time with my Heavenly Father. And I want to hear his voice. And you hear his voice whenever you open the Bible and you read it with understanding and with meditation and with the heart of obedience and prayer. Did you do that? A person who is in love will find it very uncomfortable when you did not hear the voice of the Lord today, in one day. If you don't hear the voice of the Lord, you don't read the Bible from Monday to Saturday, that is evidence that you don't love the Lord, you don't care for the Lord, because you didn't hear his voice from Monday to Saturday, and you feel okay, you feel very contented, you feel very satisfied. Because I know that during Monday to Saturday, you hear the voice of the world a lot. You hear the voice of the world a lot. How many of you heard the voice of the world in the wee hours of the morning? I think some of you did, right? England beat. Which country? Don't say. You better not say. Did you hear the voice of the world? You see how attractive the voice of the world is? They pull your heart, right? You are prepared to give up sleep just to hear the voice of the world, because you love soccer. It may be your favorite country, right? First time in don't know how many years England is in. The newspaper says that England has the best chance to win one more game, they're in the finals. Then the other two group, France, is now known as the favorite. This is the voice of the world. It attracts you. You see, it attracts your love for soccer. But not the Bible. Not the Bible. Some of you, you hear some delicious food. Wow, this anniversary, go, your favorite dish, whatever that is, siu yo, chicken rice, whatever it is. Wow. You see? There's a feeling. There's an emotion that comes up because of your love. There's an emotion, a feeling. But the Bible, you don't hear God's voice, it's okay. The Lord knows. You don't sacrifice anything to read God's word. You don't sacrifice anything to come for Bible study. Wow, so far, so cold, so early. But the voice of the world, your favorite soccer match, wow, once in 4 years, the World Cup, and then the Olympics, this and all. The voice of the world keeps on ringing in your ear, but the voice of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom you're supposed to love with all your heart, soul, and mind, can go silent for so many weeks, and you are so fine with it. That is not a heart that loves God. How can you love him and you don't hear his voice and you are happy with it? Something is wrong, very seriously wrong, and you better fix it. Because we're not talking about just a few moments of sadness on earth. We're talking about eternity in heaven or in hell. Because a person who is truly born again in Christ cannot not hear the voice of God and feel nothing that is wrong and sickly about him. Because Lot was vexed in his soul day by day, because he kept on hearing the voice of the world. And when he heard the voice of God, he knew the best thing and the right thing for me to do is to get out of Sodom. And he did not. And he never had peace until he was dragged out of Sodom and Gomorrah by the angels. If you don't drag yourself out of the world and you keep on hearing the voices of the world and you get used to it and you stop hearing the voice of God and you don't even feel bad about it, how can you call yourself a Christian? Because a Christian always has the Spirit of God in him. And if you have been starving the Spirit of God without the voice of your God because you have not been reading God's word, you think the Spirit of God will leave you alone? That's why the servant Lot was vexed in the spirit, because the Spirit of God will never give him peace. And if you have peace in your soul, that means the Spirit of God is not there, because the Spirit of God cannot die. He will never leave the believer. He will always make your life very miserable, because your life is in sin. You keep on hearing the voice of the God of this world and not the God of the Bible, and you are happy with it. That's why you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is your entire being, that is your thinking. That's why you hear the voice of God. You read the Bible and you take which verse that the Lord finds in your heart for that day that is special. And you memorize it and you memorize it and meditate upon it throughout the day. That's how you love the Lord your God with all your mind. With all your mind. The voice of the person will continue to ring in your ears. You want that voice never, never to be silent in your head. But for us, how is your mind? How is your soul, your entire being? And how is your heart, your motive this morning, dear friend? 21 years, of this church existence? Has it helped you drawn closer to the Lord in love? We're talking about service. All right, let's put service, everything aside. Just your love. Sure, those who love will serve. But we also know that those who serve without love. So let's not focus on service. Just talk about love. Because when you love, everything else slowly, little by little, will fall into place naturally. You don't need your mom and your dad. You don't need your spouse. You don't need anyone to goad you, to poke you, to threaten you, to bribe you, to open the Bible and study. You will not allow anything to stop you from attending Bible study, to attend prayer meeting, to attend worship. Not rain, not snow, not anything. You will try your best to make sure you attend Christian fellowship. You'll come for the camp. You'll come for whatever the church has planned to help you, because you love the Lord. Not because you want to please Elder Cole or any of the saints, because you love him. You can't bear to be away from other brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't bear to be away when the word of God is taught and you are not there to hear his voice. You can't bear it. You won't let distance, you won't let anything to stop you from coming. You know, when I was in Africa many, many years ago, during the afternoon when we had a little bit of spare time, they have this program on television that is religious in nature. And then I would watch, especially the charismatics. They are the only ones who can afford to pay for television time. And then I remember this charismatic speaker, always wear white, multi-millionaire, one of the top 10 richest charismatic pastor in the world, Benny Hinn. And then he was up on stage, pure white. And then no stadium was big enough for his crowd. There was, according to what their commentators reported, 1 million people were there. And so they started to pan the crowd. From one end, they would pan camera from a very far distance. Wow, you can see the big crowd, nonstop, from one end to the end. And they use a deserted airfield for their meeting. 1 million people. And then they were saying, some of them walk 4 or 5 days just to come. 4 or 5 days just to come for this meeting, which teaches them rubbish. Walk 4 or 5 days just to come, because they are very poor. Kenyan people live on $1 a day. I went to Kenya and I was told that if you ask direction from a Kenyan and they tell you walk in this direction very near, you don't believe. Because in Singapore you say very near, I should arrive in 10 minutes. For a Kenyan mentality, near means 4 to 8 hours. Right, so if they ask you to walk and you walk and walk and walk 1 hour, you're not even near it. This near means 4 to 8 hours, so you better start walking. That to us is a whole day of walking, isn't it? Then when they tell you, oh, it's only middle distance, just don't worry, just go. That's 2 days. Far means anything 4 days and above, that's far. So for them, they travel 4, 5, 6 days to come to attend the meeting. They travel far just to come. And we have Bible studies. You're in Australia. I do not know how you think in terms of long, near, or far, whatever it is. But should distance stop you? If you're in love, distance will not stop you. True? If you're in love, anything, you will try your best to get. Sometimes I hear husbands, you know, I don't think they are really complaining. They may be in jest or joking. Like, you know, when my wife was with child, she has this longing, you know, for this particular dish, you know. I drove high and low in the wee hours of the morning just to find a shop that is open, so I can buy this plate of whatever she has this longing to eat. Otherwise, she cannot sleep, you know, in the middle of the night. If the husband is not in love with the wife who is carrying his first child, he will probably just give her a sleeping pill. Sleep, please. Where am I going to find this dish? But he bothered to change and got into his car and drove and find all over Singapore, look for any 24-hour shop that were able to get her that dish. Why? What will he take the trouble? My wife, our first child, and she has this longing to have this dish in order for her to satisfy this desire that is so strong in her. And because he loved her very much, our first child, he took the trouble. How is your love for the Lord? Is it truly with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? right now, right here and now, what is your love thermometer like? As you reflect on 21 years of this church, how long you have been a believer, you reflect on your time and your walk with the Lord in relation to your love for Him. How is it? Jesus, this is the first and great commandment. And then the Lord also knows, how do I love the Lord? I can't see Him. Where do I find Him to love Him? Of course, His Word. And so the Lord Jesus Christ followed with something that is very, very practical. The second is like unto the first. Now, the word like is where we get the word homo. You know homosexual, right? Same sex. You know, the word like here is the word homo. Okay? So the second is like the first. Okay, like unto it. It means just like the first. Similarity. So if you love God, you will love man, because thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Same word, agape love. So how do I know I love God? With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, I love my neighbor, all of you. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. Just as I'm prepared to do anything for the Lord, I must be prepared to do anything for all of you. Anything. Without compromising. Without compromising on truth and righteousness and holiness. But sacrifice anything, give my life, my time, my energy, my effort to help my neighbor become a better witness for Christ. If I have to rebuke you, admonish you, and discipline you to do that, to stop you from sin, I will do it. If I have to do this painful deed, I will do it. I will do it. Such as if my son or my daughter marries an unbeliever, they know mom and dad will never attend the wedding. It breaks our heart not to be there on your very important day. So that from now onwards, whenever you look back at your wedding photo, you will never find the picture of mom and dad. You think it will be an easy thing to do? You think it will not break our heart? But for your own good, we have to do it. Because to say it is okay to displease the Lord by marrying an unbeliever, by being there, is not going to help you. It's going to shame the Lord. And because my love for the Lord is always in truth, and therefore my love for you must always be in truth. That's what it means by like unto the first. Your love for one another must never be purely sentimental. It's always based upon your love for God. That's why the only way to love all of you correctly is my love for God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. The Lord is not asking us to love Him like this because He is a selfish God, He's a self-centered God. No, because He knows that if you do not love Him in this manner, you will not be able to love your neighbor correctly. Because loving one another correctly means we have always to do what is best for you in light of eternity. And so if I have to love my son who is now marrying an unbeliever by not attending, this is the right kind of love. If I attend your wedding, that's not right kind of love. That means I hate him. That means I despise him because I approve and condone his sin, his transgression. I condone and agree when he marries an unbeliever, which he knows it is wrong, which he knows is a sin against God. And if I say, good, my son, that means I'm also teaching him to despise God and to hate God and to sin against God. How could that be love for him? That's why loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind is the only way to teach me how to love all of you correctly. And so as you think of 21 years of your existence, have you obeyed the great commandment in your life right now? If you have not done so, repent of your sin and it is not too late. You can still do it right now. For the rest of your life, how much time you have left, you can still do it. But if you are doing it, keep on doing it, dear friend. Never stop. Keep your love for the Lord very much alive and keep it vibrant and strong. And that's one of the ways, by keeping the Lord's Supper, coming to church. All these must be true evidence of your love for Him, and you have to do it because you love Him. You come to church because you love Him. You serve because you love Him. You sing in the choir because you love Him. You play the piano because you love Him. You study God's word because you love Him. You attend church camp because you love Him. You want to be with Christian fellowship because you love all these things because you love Him. Because these are God's people. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And therefore, I love Him. I love all of you with the same kind of love. And the reason the Lord gave why this is the great commandment, two in one, He says two is also in all. Because with these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. That means without these two love, every other commandment that you obey is useless. All right, let's say, I will not commit the sin of thou shalt not commit adultery. And I did it because I am afraid of being caught. And I'm afraid of bringing shame to my wife and my children. And therefore, I don't do it. God says, that is a wrong motive. Yeah, you did the right thing by not committing adultery. But the motive is not right. The motive must be because you fear God and you love Him. You do not want to bring shame to the name of Christ that you bear. Not because you're afraid of getting caught. Many people do not steal because they are afraid of getting caught. Many people drive within the speed limit because they are afraid of getting caught. Not because it is the right thing to do. We are afraid of getting caught. This is the way of the world. That's why they have all the cameras everywhere. That's why they have all the laws. They're afraid of getting caught. That is not a good reason. The love is the right reason that will help us obey all the other 611 laws. Remember 613? Love the Lord your God. The great commandment, second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means whatever you do to your neighbor must be the same thing that you want to do for yourself. You don't want to hurt yourself, you don't want to hurt them. You want to help yourself, you must also help them. You want to draw closer to the Lord, you must help them draw closer to the Lord, your neighbor. And hanging below all these two laws are all the other 611 laws. So why do I keep the Sabbath day holy? Because I love the Lord and I love all of you. I want to spend time with you on earth to encourage you, just as I need you to encourage me. Because when I go into the world, sometimes it is very daunting to serve in the world. Sometimes it is so hard to be a student witness in the world because I get bullied, I get abused, I get defeated. But when I come to church, I know I'm with brothers and sisters in Christ. I have no need to be on guard. I am with family. I am at home. I am with my brothers and sisters in Christ whom I will be with for eternity. And therefore, if I hurt any one of you, I want to apologize because I will see you in heaven. I don't want to experience pain and hurt. And I don't want you to be hurt. And therefore, if by swallowing my pride, I can help you mend your relationship with God and with me, I will do it. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Because we are a family. We are going to be together in heaven. But not at the expense of compromising on truth. Not the expense of doing what is right. If I do what is right and you're angry with me, I can only say, I am sorry that you're angry with me, but I'm not going to change. I will still do what is right. That's why loving the Lord your God with all your heart, and your soul with your mind, will teach me how to love my neighbor, and then you will be able to do all the other laws correctly with the right motive. And you will do it, therefore, with joy, with happiness, with gladness, and with peace in your heart. All the other laws that you do that is not based upon your love for God and for one another is a sin. Wood, hay, and stubble, burned up and destroyed by fire. You give your love gift, right? It's a good thing to give. But if you give it out of compulsion, if you give it out of necessity, bopi and I give. God says it's unacceptable, right? Cheerful giver out of love. If you help your brother, help your sister, the person is in hospital, the person needs food, you go there and you do it. But if you do it out of duty, you do it out of guilt, you do it with a murmur in your heart because your leaders ask you to do it, then it is gone. It's wood, hay, and stubble. You do it because you love your brother, you love your sister. And you do it therefore with joy, with happiness, with gladness. It's not just for payment, it's not just a matter of duty. It is something that I love to do, I want to do, because it is the right thing to do as a child of God. 21 years of your existence. If the Lord tarries, 10 years from now, when you celebrate your 31st year, or 30 years, 9 years from now, or 25 years, 4 years from now, will you still be around? Loving the Lord, serving the Lord faithfully all the days of your life? Or will we see you no more? Love for Him will sustain you. Will not only sustain you, will keep you stronger and stronger in the faith that nothing on earth can ever do. Your love for the Lord will always help you to do what is right. So please, answer the question, how is your love for your God, the Lord? Is it truly with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind? Prove it by your love for one another and for God's people, for the church, in service, in devotion, in obedience, in sacrifice. Because without this love, everything that you do is nothing. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, once again as we reflect upon Thy goodness toward us for the past 21 years in this church. For we know that the reason why this church was founded was because Your people 21 years ago could not find a place of worship that honors Thee, that is sound and biblical, where they could bring their children up in the fear and nurture of the Lord, where they can worship Thee in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable unto Thee. And by Your grace and Your mercies, You move the hearts of that generation to found this church. And Thou hast sustained and watched over this church for the past 21 years, despite our failings. We thank Thee, Lord, for we know that without Your grace and Your mercies toward us, this church would not have existed and would not exist today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You will be gracious and merciful to help us as we reflect upon the past, how some who were with us but no longer, for whatever reason, if it is our failure that they have departed, forgive us. We pray, Lord, that we will not fail Thee again. But if it is because of our goodness and our obedience to Thee in doing what is right and they have left us, we pray, Lord, that You'll be merciful to them and to bring to remembrance the word of God that they have learned and heard through this church, that one day they will return unto Thee. And for those who are not born again, we pray, Lord, that Thy Holy Spirit may come upon them and bring to remembrance the word that they have heard and learned and convict them, that they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And for those who are wayward, we pray, Lord, that You will vex their spirit, that they will never have peace like Lot until they return unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for all of us who remain. We pray, Lord, that You will sustain our love for Thee, that our love for Thee will grow stronger and stronger with every passing day, to love Thee with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind, not only for yesterday, but tomorrow and the next day, all the rest of our lives, and always to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. For unto these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, for we cannot obey any other portion of God's word without our love for Thee and for one another. Teach us to serve one another and to serve Thee because we love Thee. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.